We're speaking now with Idaho State Senator for District 1, Jim Woodward. Senator Woodward, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you.
So we're recording this the week before the 2022 Idaho legislative session gets underway. But when it airs, the session will have started a few days earlier on that Monday. So you're going to have to do a little bit of prognosticating here. But the main question is, what do you foresee as the biggest issues facing the legislature this year, particularly those that you think the people of the first district ought to watch for?
Well, yeah, thanks for the question, Chris. I think that a lot of the discussion we'll see this year, it will be surrounding the budget and the extraordinary amount of additional money that is available this year, and what is the right thing to do with that money. And part of that money is our normal state budgeting process. General funds in Idaho are income tax and sales tax, and those revenues have been quite a bit higher than anticipated. Every year we sit down before the legislative session, a small committee called the Economic Outlook and Revenue Assessment Committee. So this Thursday and Friday, I'll be in Boise in just a few days here on the 6th and 7th, and we'll make some projections as to what we think the income tax and sales tax revenues will be for the next year, and then we set the budget based on that. And we did that last year. The amount of revenue that's come in has greatly exceeded what we anticipated, and so we have to take a look at where is that money coming from. And we know there's trickle-down money from the federal stimulus dollars. Every time somebody receives a check, federal dollars, then if they spend it here in Idaho, there's sales tax, a 6% sales tax on that. If they're receiving other money that's shown as income, then that goes into the pot also. So that's what we consider one-time money, because that's not going to continue. But then we also know there's revenue coming in from across the state, just as people are moving here. The last numbers I heard were growing about 50,000 people per year right now. So we got done with the census a couple of years ago, said maybe we had 1.8 million. Well, now we're at 1.9. So that just continues to add.
And in fact, we're the fastest growing state in the whole country.
That's right. Yeah. Growing at, I think the number was 2.9%. Mm-hmm. So we have 2.6% unemployment, I think the lowest in the country, or one of the lowest, one of the four lowest, and then growing at the fastest rate. So it's a challenge for Idaho. I think everybody can see that and feel that, and so that's part of figuring out how that money is appropriately spent. If it's one-time money from a trickle-down from federal stimulus, then we should probably try and put those dollars into something that lasts a long time. If we turn away those dollars, those federal dollars, I'll come back to that, but the money that has come in as income tax and sales tax, if we want to make a wise investment for the future, then we want to build something or put in place something that lasts for a long time. If we're seeing additional money because there are more people here, more people working, or we know that people telecommute, and so for some, we have folks showing up that have their higher wage earners living here in Idaho but making a higher wage or working over the internet. That also has affected the revenues. And so we need to make sure that we're putting in place the infrastructure to support the greater number of people here and try and maintain that Idaho quality of life that we all enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. So on the tax collection question, I think part of the reason our revenues jumped up, correct me if I'm wrong on this, is because we started collecting tax on some internet sales.
We did start to collect tax that was based on the Wayfair decision, a Supreme Court decision. That's been in place for a few years now, but that money has been going into a set-aside account. I think we're slowly getting that straightened out, and the goal is to that income sales tax, that sales tax off the internet should be treated the same as any other. That was something that started a few years before I came into the legislature. This will be my fourth year this year, but I think it's time to treat internet sales tax as any other sales tax and get it into the general fund. Mm-hmm. It's been used right now as tax relief fund and set aside, and I just don't think that's quite the right policy. Mm-hmm. So we'll get that into the general fund. But you're right, we're collecting more sales tax because of the transactions happening over the internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is becoming larger and larger portion of sales that occur. And of course, it was always unfair to brick and mortar retailers that they have to charge a tax, and you could previously go online and order stuff and not be paid tax. So it effectively was a discount on sales for people ordering online. So that, in a way, that corrected the situation for those retailers.
Yes.
And it put more money in the coffers for the state, too. Well, so we have this big surplus. What's that amount at this point?
Right now, the projection is that we have about $1.6 billion extra or greater revenue than we anticipated. The state budget is right in the $9.5 billion, will be $10 billion this year. And so that's a significant amount. It's more than 10%, 15% more than we would normally have. And so what we did last year was took a look and tried to make take a balanced approach to it. We put more money in rainy day savings. We returned money to taxpayers. Everybody got a check based on what their 2019 Idaho tax filing status was. And then we also made some big investments last year. Just put in place a way to fund transportation in the state that is really going to help for a number of years, mm-hmm. or decades.
So one thing that occurs to me that I know in our district, our school districts struggle with funding. Right now, the Lake Pontarre School District, they passed a permanent levy, which of course puts that tax burden onto property owners more directly. But even with that, to help fund their operations, they have some really big infrastructure needs. They have some aging schools that need to be replaced. They tried to do a big levy about 3 years ago, I think, to replace schools. Can some of this money, is there any prospect that some of this money that's now kind of, you know, part of that surplus could be used to fund replacing schools and repairing schools?
I think there is a possibility. I don't have any details on that yet. There's been some discussion of rural school facilities improvements. And so hopeful that something comes of that. We do have this ongoing question about supplemental levies. We made that change back in 2006 and added 1% of sales tax and got rid of the M&O levy for schools only. Took that one line item off. But then the economy went down. That just didn't work out the way we anticipated that. But it wasn't dedicated money. When that extra 1% of sales tax wasn't dedicated to the schools, it was just still in the general fund. There is a proposal right now. The Idaho State Senate tax chairman has a proposal to take a portion of existing sales tax that we have and dedicate it to schools in the amount of what's out there right now for supplemental levies. If you added up all the supplemental levies across the state that all the school districts are running, we have 115 school districts, and about 3/4 of those school districts are running supplemental levies. So if you added that up and then took some portion of sales tax and said traded that out and covered all those supplemental levies with the general fund dollars, sales tax dollars, but the other part of that proposal, that draft legislation, is then to remove the mechanism for further supplemental levies. That supplemental levy mechanism would go away. So that'll be a discussion that'll start right out at the beginning of the legislature and see where that goes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So figuring out what to do with the budget surplus is mm-hmm. going to be a big part of the legislature this year. Are there other big issues that you would identify?
Well, education, we've talked about funding all-day kindergarten for quite a while now from the state level. A lot of the districts across the state have all-day kindergarten in place. Some districts collect some money from parents. Some districts use the supplemental levy funds. There are different ways that school districts have figured out how to offer as an option all-day kindergarten. But we see that most all, the overwhelming majority, are offering all-day kindergarten. So we'll go back to that. That was a proposal last year and didn't make it. We'll take another look at it this year and see if we can figure out how to fund all-day kindergarten from the state. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, so that it can be a uniform and thorough system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, we do have kind of an uneven education in that, statewide in that respect, as some districts have more money to work with than other districts. So are there any bills that you want to put forth personally or co-sponsor yourself?
Oh, I have one or two small items I'm working on, just constituent issues, trying to clean up a few things, but nothing that hits the radar statewide.
And what committees do you sit on?
So I serve on education, finance, and transportation. The finance committee is the biggest load there. We meet daily. We set the budget. And then transportation is a few days a week. Last year, we had that quite a bit of activity because we put in place an ongoing revenue stream so that we can have a bonding mechanism. So we set up about $1.5 to $1.6 billion worth of improvements last year in transportation. And then the education committee is also always, there's always something going on there.
Yeah. Okay. So I got a couple other questions I want to ask, but before I get to that, anything else you want to throw out that constituents or folks in District 1 should keep an eye on?
You bet. So the other piece of the budget puzzle this year is also the ARPA funds. We have quite a bit, $1 billion of the American Recovery Plan Act funds sitting there designated for sewer, water, and broadband. So we'll look at how to put that money out into the communities across the state. I think the way that takes shape is that through the normal DEQ, or Department of Environmental Quality, and Department of Water Resource mechanisms. Take, for example, a small water district that is a rural water district. Right now, they can borrow money through the state revolving fund and make improvements and then pay that money back with a low interest rate loan. We can use that same mechanism for project selection, grant application process, but instead use this ARPA money. And so instead of being a loan, it's a grant. And maybe with a small match, I'll advocate for that. There's still some buy-in on it, but take care of some of these sewer and water issues across the state in these small taxing districts that oftentimes don't have the means to meet some of the regulatory requirements. I mean, you look at a small system with 20 or 30 people on it. There just isn't the base there to put in place a filtration system or for potable water or the proper sewer treatment facility. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great chance to fix some of these things.
Could some of that money come to Sandpoint? You know, larger area, still a small town, because I know that Sandpoint's been working on their sewer system, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So I've been, everybody that I've spoken to in the different districts or municipalities, we've said, be ready, have a set of plans ready. And have some kind of proposal so you can apply for those funds.
Yeah, it'll probably be a race.
Yes. The word will get out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's a question I wanted to put to you as well. We're in the redistricting process. We have to go through every 10 years with a new census producing, showing population changes within the state. And a new map has been proposed that would put Sagal back into District 1, where it was traditionally for years and years, but got split out 10 years ago with the old districting map. But it will also take a part of the district south of Blanchard and put it into a new District 2. So do you like the way this map was arrived at and how it stands and what happens next? Because there has been a couple court challenges to the proposed map.
I think that the redistricting commission was very thorough. And you look at a couple of the people on there that led the process. We had a former senator and former U.S. attorney, Bart Davis, and then another former senator, and also an attorney, Dan Schmidt. And they I think they kind of led that committee, and that's a bipartisan committee of 3 Republicans and 3 Democrats, and they went around the state and really did their homework, and what it resulted in for us here in District 1 is to get our community tied back together. Is that one of the criteria for redistricting is to not split communities, and we know that the folks out in Garfield Bay, Bottle Bay, all that area, they come to Sandpoint to work, they come to Sandpoint, their kids go to high school in Sandpoint, and they go to the grocery store there. And so I think that was great to get those people back in the district. And then the reason we lost, we have to still split off part of the county, is that the total for a district is just the state population divided by the 35 districts. Mm-hmm. And so each district needs to be about 55,000 people, or excuse me, 52,500. And so the redistricting process starts with Boundary County.
Yeah.
It's always District 1.
Works its way south.
And you work your way south. And so the first two counties, you end up splitting Bonner County. Mm-hmm. In some way, you have to peel off some of the population.
And last time, even Clark Fork was in, I think.
Split by the river.
Yeah, was all the way down.
And so this new proposed map takes up both sides of the Clark Fork River and on down to Lakeview. But then you do have to drop about 7,000 people out of Bonner County. And when you look at the area that in the Blanchard area, the southwest corner of the county, those folks are typically, when they go to the grocery store, a lot of those folks are going south. Mm-hmm. There's some ties up to the north also, but so I think it was appropriate.
So we only have a minute or two left. That's how fast this time goes. So what happens next with that map, since there needs to be in place in time for the May primary, is that correct?
We are behind schedule because the census was late, and there's a court challenge going on right now. The court starts to hear this, I think, on the 14th of January. So mm-hmm. In the session here, we'll get an answer on the districts. Mm-hmm. And so there are about 4 challenges. I think they've combined most of those.
So the courts need to get to work.
That's right. And they know they're under the gun.
Well, Senator Jim Woodward, thanks for talking with us. We got 1 minute if you want to throw anything else out there that you want people to know about.
I just always appreciate the opportunity to serve the district. We do have another primary coming up next year, so we'll be out interviewing with you again.
Yeah, you will, because we'll be covering that. Okay. Well, thank you for talking with us.
Thanks, Chris.